Okay. Well, I haven't taught here for quite a long time, so this is all a little bit unnerving for me. So please bear with me while I gather my head and my heart, which is pounding. I thought Rolana's hands on my back and it's going boom, boom, boom. I thought I'm giving myself away. I'm terrified. But really, a lot of that came from studying the passages because there was so much. And I kept saying, Lord, how am I going to do this? There's so much here. How am I going to be able to get up here and teach each of these passages and tie them together and have examples and have it, you know, and do it in 30 minutes, right? So it was like we could be here all day and I'm still going on in, you know, the first part of it. So I was in a bit of a panic, and I had like a lot of planes circling the fields, and they wouldn't come in for a landing because there was just all of these different things. And I'm going, okay, God, I know all this stuff, and I've been studying it. I had, you know, page after page after page. I had done my first outline, and I had 17 pages. And I thought, I can't even get up here and read these pages, so... How am I going to do this? And so finally, it finally started coming together, and I knew it would come together by the time I stood up here, because he's faithful, and because I've been abiding. I've been scared, but I've been abiding. And he will bear fruit, because I've been abiding. So I don't really know what this is going to look like. I'm going to just move through it as the Spirit leads me, and we'll see where we end up. But what I do want to leave you with are three words that I'll begin with, and that is beware, abide, and bear. So those are the two passages, and now here we go with the right arrow, and there they are. She taught an old dog new tricks, because usually when I was teaching years ago, we used PowerPoint, and you would bring your computer, and it was all on there, and now you do something different called Google Slides. So I feel quite cool that I figured out, and I did it all on my iPhone, so that was even better. But I had photos I was going to put on there, and they never made it. I couldn't figure out how to access them. I put them in this Google Drive thing, and you're supposed to be able to go from Google Drive into Google Slides, and so I thought, okay, God, you don't want the pictures, so we'll leave them out. And so that's kind of where I've been. So abide, beware, abide, and bear. So we'll start out right arrow with that. Let's see. I have the thing here. I'd like to read the first couple of verses just to put us in context. First, this is obviously the next portion of Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talking to the crowds while up on the hills. These are quite a lot of people that he's wanting to impart his truth here on earth. He's saying, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus you'll recognize them by their fruits. One of the things that kind of calmed me down a little bit in doing this is that we go to Step Closer upstairs on Sunday morning, so I don't make the morning service generally, but I listened to Paul's teaching on this, and it was excellent. So we're going to just move kind of quickly through it, and I'm not going to be going through every verse in both of these and handling each part of it. But if you have more questions and more thoughts on this part, please listen to Paul's sermon if you haven't heard it, because it's excellent. And he tied it together without using the second part, just by being a good teacher. So we'll talk about... So we live in a world of false prophets today, don't we? There's predictions coming on every side. There's predictions about the climate. There's political predictions. There's medical predictions. There's, you know, all kinds of ways you're supposed to eat. People predict all kinds of things about life and about the world and about our bodies, and we're hearing it on all sides, and we don't really know who to listen to, do we? We do our best to understand it, and it can be very fearful for a lot of people. So my husband was telling me that in 1962, he was 16, and there was a prediction that there was going to be a polar ice age, and it was going to be coming in the near future. And it scared him half to death, and he decided, oh, my gosh, I have permission. He said, I haven't had sex yet. I haven't drank alcohol yet, you know. There were all these things that he hadn't done, and he decided he was just going to go out and live life full force because he might not be able to get to do anything because it was going to end in an ice age in the near future. So he went out and for a couple of years was a bit of a bad boy, and fortunately grew up in a Christian home of parents who loved him and cared for him and kind of brought him back around to a little bit more sanity and a more sane way to live. And I'm glad that they did, because I met him then when he was 20. And let's see, was he 20? No, he was, wait, how old was I? He was 19. So I met him the next year. And I came to know the Lord because of him. So I'm glad that, you know, he came back around. So there's churches that are deceived, that are part of that false prophet. We have the Church of Scientology and Ekankar, and there's different cults and things like that that are trying to tell us that they're the way, they're the truth, and they confuse some people, especially if you don't know the Word of God. Then you're going to be fearful. Then you're going to be scared. And you're going to, you know, who knows what direction you might take or what you might do. You don't know what to believe. A woman that I know who met a man online and fell in love with him online, even though she'd never met him, and then loaned him $50,000. And she's never seen him. She hasn't gotten the money back. And apparently he's done this on and on. So even, you know, in this arena, we're seeing that there's frauds out there. If you look at Matthew passage and John's passage, you look at and you realize that it's talking about the internals affecting the externals. And that whatever we have going on the inside is what is going to bear fruit on the outside of us. I'll do a bit of a review on what we've been doing. We've been talking about not judging others or we'll be judged, asking for what we need to a loving Heavenly Father who loves to bless, knowing He gives us what our hearts truly need through His need of what love looks like in His definition. We are to treat others the way that we want to be treated. And last week we heard from Vanessa talking about entering the choice of entering two different gates, a narrow gate and a wide gate. The wide gate leading to destruction and the narrow gate leading to life. And Jesus said, He is the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. So we want to start out in all of this, remembering that this is a message coming from Jesus. These are words that He spoke. And I don't know if you feel this way, but I always feel like when it's the words coming out, when it said, and the Lord said, you know, or if it's the red writing and you go, oh my gosh, these are the words of Jesus. And He wants us to hear these words. It's motivated by love and care. And even in saying the hard things, like some of the hard things I might have to say today, some of the hard things I thought Vanessa had some hard things to say last week, and I thought, oh my gosh, next week it's going to be me, you know? But it didn't bother Jesus because he understood the importance of not only saying those good things, those things we love to hear, that we're loved and he cares for us, and the thing like, don't worry, I'll take care of you, but then he also can say the hard things like, you know, things are cut off and put in the fire, and we go, whoa, you know, wow, Jesus, don't get like that. That's scary when you talk that way. And it didn't scare him. And I'd like to be more like that, to tell you the truth. So he's saying Jesus is wanting to prepare his flock for the coming threats. Oh my gosh, it's already 10:15. I haven't just started. Oh dear, I'm so sorry. Oh dear, I shouldn't do this. So anyway, we'll go to beware. First word. It's a word that it's a pseudo prophet. It's a fake prophet. It's somebody who says that God sent them, and that he speaks for God. And truly on the inner man, they operate by self and for self. Certainly, God didn't send them. He's not speaking through them. He wants to be, and he's in the middle of the sheep, and he wants to look good to the sheep. He wants to beguile the sheep and draw them in. But ultimately, he's being used by the evil one. So then it says that beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. And what I was going to do was get one of those pictures that has the wolf with the sheep's clothing over it, you know. And I thought, he wouldn't really look like that. He really would just look like another sheep. He wouldn't have the beak that looked, you know, the nose of a wolf and all that. You really wouldn't know that it's a wolf until you're around them for a while, and then the fruit of who they are shows. So, let's see, he says, a wolf in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. This is from John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Then he says, ooh, ravenous wolves. We go, you'll know them by their fruits. And so, I don't know if I did the next one. No, I didn't. I just did, you know, they'll know you by your fruits. So then ultimately, the way that he tells us, you're going to be able to tell who these false prophets are by the way their lives are. Paul went into this so well. I might just even move on from that because he said you'll know who they are by their fruit. There are certain things you can look for, and he went into that. So please, if you want more about that, because I'm already way behind, I'm going to move on. But the thing that's important to know, and the reason I'm glad that Rolana linked up this, is the way you. He says, beware of the false prophets, but he didn't say despair, right? He doesn't want us to get fearful. Very few of Jesus' messages, he said, beware. And usually he was talking about the Pharisees. And, you know, they were, you know, we all know who they were, his enemy, who eventually he permitted to put him on the cross. But he doesn't want us to have despair. But how does this happen? How do we identify these false prophets? We have to know Jesus, and we need to know the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So that's where I wanted to spend time on today. And we'll just leave Matthew there, and we'll move on to. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from you, from me, you workers of lawlessness, because what he's saying is, what the only thing that really matters is that he knows us and that we know him. I mean, you can do all kinds of good works. You can say all kinds of good things, but they don't have any value to God unless they're done in his power and his strength through his son. Okay, now we'll leave it. So we'll go on to God's vineyard from John 15, 1 to 15. We left beware, and we're moving on to abide and bear. So he says, let's see, we'll look at that. We read it over this morning, so I won't just go ahead and do that, but we'll go ahead and start on, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You could just spend hours on this. It's so full of wonderful good things. I'll take in the second verse and then we'll talk about it, okay? So every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So he's talking about he is the true vine. The vine is always a symbol of Israel, and he's linking himself with Israel to those who understand those kinds of things. So he's saying he is the true vine, and his Father is the vine dresser, so that would be God the Father. And every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. So he talks about, he's speaking to believers here. He says, every branch in me. So he's talking to actually his disciples. After they left the upper room, I think they're on their way to Gethsemane. They're walking. This is what I read. Hopefully I read it correctly. So he's talking to his disciples, wanting to give them like real specific things about who he is and how he wants us to live. So the vine dresser is the Father, and it's important to understand that the vine dresser loves his vines. We used to have a vineyard, and the vine, and my husband loved his vines. He wasn't the vine dresser, though, because he wasn't qualified to be a vine dresser. We had a viticulturist come who got the right vines that we planted, and he knew how you dug holes. He knew the soil that you're supposed to put them in. He knew that after it rains you have to spray or there'll be mold growing. He knew that when you've got to prune. He knew how to clean out the leaves, and he understood every aspect of these vines, and he knew each vine, and each vine needed something different. Is that beautiful? I love that. Just so cool. Because it makes me remember how much he knows me. He knows what I need. He knows what I need to grow. And he knows what my life needs in order to produce good fruit, as he does you. So cool. So let's see. The vine dresser is the loving Heavenly Father, the drainage, the pruning. Okay. So he prunes. So pruning might not be very pleasant. Pruning is one of the things that the viticulturist does. If you don't prune, you're going to lose the whole vineyard. You lose the whole vine. It will stop bearing fruit. It becomes just a bunch of wound around branches. And we were in Italy, and we saw a vineyard they had let go. They quit tending, and it was just a total mess. So it's very important that the vine dresser does his work, and one of the things is the pruning. Not real comfortable, I'd say, a lot of the times, because he's dealing with issues in our life that are not consistent with who he is, and he wants to make us like himself, right? But it starts with knowing him first. It all begins with knowing Jesus first. He's saying, every branch in me, and that's what he means. Those who know him, those who have a relationship with him, that's where it begins. Then we go to this pruning. I put no pruning, no growth. So there's varied trials and difficulties that can happen. By the way, there are sometimes branches that never bear fruit. They just are branches. And those are the ones that he cuts off. Because for whatever reason, and I'll go into that in a little bit, they don't bear fruit. And so they have to be cut off. But what is fruit anyway, right? What is fruit? We know from Galatians that fruit is what is produced in our lives through Christ, his life in us, our life in him, and his action of taking care of us in the proper way to produce fruit. And in Galatians 5 it says they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We become like Jesus through being with Jesus. So he says then in verse 3, oh, there we go. Sorry, I forgot about that. We'll move on. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Talking to his disciples, the clean thing it means it was cleansed. It's the same word as the prune. So prune and cleanse both mean the same thing. And he's saying to the disciples, I already have a relationship with you, so you're already clean. And then he says, abide in me and I in you. So it's a two-way thing. Opening our hearts to Jesus, but his heart opened to us, and works both ways. Just like a vine is the branch is onto the vine, and all of the sustenance from the vine comes up into the branches from the ground. All the care the vine dresser makes, it then flows into each branch, which is us, and fruit is produced. But it comes from abiding, him and you and him. I went to Italy on my own in September. We've been going for about 20 years, and we've gone to the same area for a while, and we've gotten to know some people, and I really want to be able to talk to them. So I've been studying Italian pretty diligently, and my dream has always been to go to Italy and study Italian, full immersion, they call it. Most normal people go in a group, and they go in this group, and you kind of are together in this immersion deal, but I didn't do that. I went on my own. We knew people, so my husband wasn't afraid that I was going to be, you know, all by myself, but I went on my own. And it turned out to be almost a month. And I would take a two-hour class every day by myself, and then I had like 3 hours of homework in the afternoon. And I would talk with people all around this little town otherwise. So I would finish my class around noon, somewhere around there, and I would be so exhausted and so keyed up, and I felt like my brain was fried. So I would take this walk every day, and I'd walk down through the town, and then the other end of the town was this long park, and I'd walk through the park, and then if you looked over to these are what I was going to show you, but it didn't come. So over here, you look over the side, and here's the Val di Chianti over there. It's just beautiful, right? And I'm walking along, and I'm brain fried. And after a while, I realized Italian didn't mean anything for me to be there. I mean, that became secondary to why I felt like I was there. Because I don't know why, it just did. It just didn't become important to me. And I realized, Lord, I don't even know what I'm doing here. It seems so unimportant for me to be here. It's not anything like I thought it was going to be. I had this dream. You let me have this dream. So I would just walk back and I would say, you and me, and me and you, and you and me, and me and you, and I would just abide. I'd walk along and I would abide. And I'd just say, Lord, show me who to love now. Who do I love now? Lead my day. What store do I stop in? I made friends with Katya, who has this little dress store, gave me a discount on some sweaters I bought. But we became friends, you know, and she doesn't speak any English. And we became friends, and I could share my life with her. And she and I became these really good friends, and she was like a lot younger than me. I couldn't believe she liked me, you know. So then I was friends with this Manuela, who, you know, whose parents were both old and in care, and she would sit and hold my hand and just felt like somebody loved her. It was kind of amazing, really. But it was what I was really there for. Italian was secondary. What I was really there for was to be fruit. And the teachers would say, I can't believe, all in Italian, I can't believe you're here by yourself. And then I would say in Italian, well, you know, I can't either believe it, but God allowed this for me, and he's giving me the ability to be here and not be afraid. Because they'd say, I can't believe, aren't you afraid to be here alone? Well, I kind of was, but I knew I had to bring that fear to him, and he would give me what I needed to deal with each day. So that's what abiding looks like. That's the life. Now, was I being pruned in some ways? Yeah, some parts were hard. There was some pruning. Then that part of it had to do with Italian. Learning Italian was secondary, and the most important thing was loving him. Sometimes pruning has to do with some bad habit that I might have, like getting really easily upset with people I have to call with problems, like DirecTV or UPS or... And I had to learn how to deal with that because I realized it wasn't consistent with the fruit. It was part of the deeds of the flesh. And I had to say, Lord, I see myself out of control and I don't know what to do with that. Show me, what do I do with that? Because it's not you. It's not loving. It's not you. And they don't deserve to be told off the way I have. Sometimes I'm so sorry I didn't tell you that. You guys? But he showed me how to deal with it. You know what you know what you do? You forgive him ahead of time. If I carried like the last 10 years of anger towards DirecTV or the last 10 years of anger towards UPS or the last 10 years towards the UPS, USPS, and I just realized I've never forgiven them. Ah, that's why I'm so mad. Because I'm still, they're putting up with all this anger from a woman who's mad at like 10 years of problems. So you forgive them. And that's how he showed me. The reason I'm telling you is because when we see these things that aren't like fruit, then we bring them to him and say, what do I do about this? I need help here. I don't know what to do with it. I didn't even know how it got here. So would you show me how to deal with this? And would you make it fruit? So that now and then, someone might say, thank you so much for being patient with me. Mm-hmm. That's God, let me tell you. So, let's see. A branch can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So that's a decision to continue to abide. So you've got to continue to, if you want to grow and have life, you abide in Jesus. He says that apart from him, we can do nothing. Okay, sometimes this can be confusing because it doesn't mean that there's nothing of any value in your life if you don't have him. But what it does mean is that there's nothing of value in your life that impresses God apart from him. So if you want to have fruit in your life, if you want to have activity and purpose, activities of purpose and words of purpose and love, then you abide in him, because apart from him you can do nothing. I can do nothing. And if anyone doesn't abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries. Oh, I put us instead of up, sorry. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. And I believe this takes place at the end of the age when Jesus returns. It's not for us to decide who that is. It's up to Jesus to decide if you're not abiding and you're not bearing fruit. that'll be something that he will deal with at that later time, and I don't think it's purposeful to speculate on what it means. So if you abide in me and I in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Because you're abiding, you start thinking like him. So then if you start thinking like him, then you start asking things that are consistent with his will for you. It's so simple sometimes that it's crazy, but it's the way it is. He says, my Father is glorified by this. This life of Christ in us, this fruit we're bearing, glorifies the Father. Is that just so cool? That you'll bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Because of his love in us, because of the fruit he's growing in us, of the words we're saying in him, what we're doing in him, it proves that we're his disciples. There used to be a song years ago called "They'll Know We're Christians by Our Love." I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you wonder, do we see it all that often? Sorry. Okay, just as the Father has loved me and I have also loved you, abide in my love. So, right, that's just that continue on in abiding. If you keep my commandments and you abide in your love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things, they modeled it. The Father and the Son modeled to us what abiding looks like. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy might be made in you, may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. If you want to have a life of joy and of fruit, joy is one of the fruits, right? If you want to have joy, then abide. You just have to do it. I have one other little thing to say. Talking about knowing the truth, okay? And knowing, you have to know the Word of God to be able to live the Word of God. So I just have a few little things I want to show you. One is, go to the website, PBC website. It talks about what we believe. And this will give you a lot of really good information. But then there's tons of sermons. If you've not perused all of those and wanted to know more, go to the website, and there's plenty of other good places as well. I'm sure you already know. However, these are three books that Billy Graham actually wrote the foreword in one of them, and it gives you a lot of really good information in one spot. So, like, if you just have questions or you feel like, I just don't know how to tie it all together, this is really good. It's called Know Who You Believe, Know Why You Believe, and Know What You Believe. They were all written by Paul Little, and they're really worth the time. It gives you a lot of really good information so that it takes knowing the Word of God for it to grow in us. And tying it back to the first one, that's how we're not deceived, right? Because we know the Word of God. And when you have counterfeits, the federal department, when they need to look, understand or teach what counterfeit money looks like, do they study counterfeit money? No, they study the real money. And that then they're able to decipher what the fake money is, what counterfeit money is. And we were always told when we first came to PBC to be like the Bereans, who examined the word to see whether Paul was telling them was true or not. We should always be listening with a discerning heart to everyone who speaks and say, is this biblical or not, right? And that way we know whether we're being deceived or not. And if somebody is a false prophet or teaching incorrectly. So we'll go back to, we have beware but not despair. Abide in Jesus and bear his fruit. And that's how we end up. And he says that he doesn't, going back to those verses that talked about cut off branches in the fire and all that, he doesn't want any to perish, but to all come to repentance. And I think that's a good thing to remember about his character. So abide in, beware, not despair, abide in Jesus, and bear good fruit. So, God bless.